Psalms 47. I'm going to read one verse, and I got a lot of scripture tonight, so if you're going to have a Bible study, you might as well have the Bible, right? Amen. Psalms 47, verse 1. When you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. I wanted to read this whole chapter. This is a great chapter. Go back and read this when you get home tonight. Talking about how God is going to subdue all the nations. But the first verse says this. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for the songs. Lord, thank you, Lord. For every time you showed up, God, when we needed you. Lord, when we didn't even realize we needed you, Lord, you showed up, God. And God, we ask your hand to be upon us tonight. God, as we open up your word, I pray, God, you'd help us, to Lord, to be able to take something out of this tonight, God, and apply it to our hearts. And we'll praise you for all you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible represents worship in many, many forms. We have a diverse church. I love our church. I just be honest with you, I wish some folks were a little louder than what they are.
Amen.
I wish some folks were a little louder than what they are.
Amen.
Glory to God. But if you shout, that's fine. If you stand, raise your hands, that's fine. If you run, that's fine. The Bible presents worship many, many different ways. Sometimes worship is quiet. Sometimes worship is reverent. Sometimes worship is still. Sometimes we come into God's house and it's just like it settles in here and God just starts moving. But sometimes worship is loud. Amen. The Bible is honored in joyful worship, passionate and loud. God is honored in both types of worship. But a lot of times I think we're missing our mark as far as worship goes.
Amen.
We missed the mark. We come into God's house and we sit here and we don't worship God.
Amen.
We've gotten used to coming in and settling. And I think, you know, it ought to be an exciting time when we come into God's house, even on a Wednesday night. I mean, some of the best services we've ever had have been on Wednesday nights when we come in and God just starts moving. Amen. So I want to look at, I guess I was going to title this, When Worship Gets Loud. But I want to look at worship tonight. Number one, what is worship? Worship means to give worth or to give honor or reverence and devotion to God. What's God worth to you? Think about that for a minute. What is God worth to you? It's more than just singing. It's more than just lifting your hands. It's a lifestyle. If you can't worship at home, you can't worship at God's house. If you can't praise him at home and you can't praise him going down the road in your car, it's hard to praise him when you come into God's house. Amen. So worship. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It ought to be a lifestyle. Worship must include obedience. Worship must include surrender. It can have praise and thanksgiving, but it must include the love of God.
Amen.
If we don't love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with everything in it, hey, you can't come in and worship. There's a lot of folks come in, sit there like a bump on a pickle. Don't ever move. Don't ever smile. Don't ever lift their hand. Don't ever do nothing.
Amen.
I mean, every once in a while, it's got to get a little bigger than you are. It's about like Preacher Jack Lasseter told a story that time about a little boy walking down the road with his daddy, holding his daddy's hand. He said, Daddy, how big was Jesus? And his daddy said, I reckon Jesus was probably about the size of a normal man, probably between five, six, and 6 foot. And this little fellow said, so you mean if he's on the inside of me, he's going to stick out somewhere? Amen. If he's on the inside of you, he's going to stick out somewhere. Every once in a while, you're going to come into God's house. You just get to can't help us. You're going to start crying. You're going to start raising your hand. Hey, if God's been good to you.
Amen.
John chapter, the Bible says in John chapter 4, now we all know this, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, that means from our heart or our spirit. And in truth, it means according to God's word. Amen. There's a lot of people got a lot of spirit about them, but they ain't got no truth. And then you got a lot of people that's got a lot, they got the truth, but they ain't got no spirit. It's got to be a mixture of both. I have no problem with shouting. I have no problem with getting in the service. You want to start a Jericho march, I'll jump right there with you, amen. But if you're going to shout and jump up in church, walk straight when you hit the ground. And I mean, I'm not knocking nobody. I'm just saying there's a lot of things we see on TV. There's a lot of things that we see. There's a lot of people got a lot of emotions, but they don't have the truth. You can have emotions at a ball game. And most of us do. But that ain't where we're going to find the truth, amen? So worship, I mean, so why do God's people shout? The Hebrew word for praise, now listen to this. The Hebrew word for praise, one of the Hebrew words for praise, is shabak. It means to shout or to address in a loud voice to triumph. Another term that they use for praise is tura. It means a battle cry, a joyful shout, or a trumpet blast. So every time the Bible talks about a trumpet, if you study the Bible, that when they sounded the trumpet, it was for a reason. The Bible, shouting is never meaningless. The shouting is never just to be shouting. It always has a purpose. Praise and worship always has a purpose, and you got to understand that. If we don't get that mindset, hey, when we come in, listen, Mike got to sing, and I'm telling you right now, I was praying. If somebody would have testified tonight, I was changing this message. But see, there's some of y'all didn't pay attention. Some of y'all didn't listen to God. Mike was singing, "But God." And I got to thinking about how God was there when I got shot. I was on the side of that road by myself as a state trooper, and God showed up. But God. How many times have you had a but God moment in your life? I'm talking about if it had not been for God, you wouldn't be here. If it had not been for God in the situation you were going through, that's what I'm talking about. When I come in and Mike's singing that song and I stand up and I raise both hands, there's a purpose behind it. I'm praising God and I'm honoring God for what God did in 1987 on the side of a highway in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Hey, you got a moment like that too. I don't know why everybody wasn't standing and raising their hands. That's what I'm talking about. Bumps on a pickle. God being good to you? Amen. It's all right to stand up and raise your hands. I wasn't going to drag this out. Now, I'm not trying to make nobody cry. But what I thought about up here, but God, if it had not been for God, my daughter would have never known her daddy. She was 3 months old when I got shot. She'd have grew up. She might have married Benji. I'm all these grandbabies. I'd never have known. And if God hadn't showed up, Krista wouldn't have a husband. So I can stand up and raise my hand. It's all right if I want to jump up in the pew. Hey, when they get to singing like that, it's all right. Hey, there's a meaning behind it. It ain't just frivolous standing up. It ain't just making a noise. It's promising God and honoring God for what God did for me. Let's look at some times people shouted in the Bible. And see if any of this hits home with you, okay? Times people, they shouted because God is king. You go, boy. I'm going to just bring them up here and let them sit on the front row, and some of y'all can just fall right in, amen? They shouted because God is king. Is God king? Is God the ruler of the universe? Is God almighty? Hey, they shouted because in Psalms 47, verse 1 and 2, a psalm for the son of Korah, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord God Most High is terrible. That word means awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Amen. Clap your hands. That's what it's saying. Clap your hands. Hey, if you know God's king, clap your hands. Shout with trumpet because God is in control. Is he your king? Come on, Next time Mike sings that song, it ought to be a little different in here then.
Yeah.
They shouted after the victory.
Yeah.
In Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, the Bible talks about the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This is talking about the city of Jericho. God had given them explicit instructions. March around the city one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, you march around 7 times. On that seventh time, you blow the trumpet and the people shout. And the people did exactly what God told them, and they shouted and the victory came. Now listen, the walls fell after. How many of us got walls tonight that we need broke down? How many of us got things tonight that we need gone in our life? The wall fell after the obedience. The wall fell after the faith. The wall fell after the trumpet blowing. And the wall fell after the shouting. That's why they shouted. They always shouted when God's glory came down. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 3, verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord and set the priests in the apparel with trumpets and the Levites and the son of Ephah with cymbals, and they praised God after the ordinance of David the king of Israel, and they sang together by chorus praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house was laid. Hey, God showed up, amen. Sometimes we ought to just praise God just because that's the right thing to do. They were rebuilding the temple. And every time, you find the Bible, every time the power of God came down, they reverenced. There was some type of worship. It might not have been shouting it all the time, but there was some type of worship every time. They shouted when Jesus come in. Some of y'all ain't getting this. They shouted in Matthew chapter 21, verse 89, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That word Hosanna right there, it means save now. And what other word, what they were saying, Mike, we know you're the Messiah. We know you're the Savior. And they were singing, Hosanna, blessed be the King. Hosanna. Hey, this is the one that's going to save us. Sometimes you ought to come to church and realize, hey, that's the one that saved you. That is your Savior. Why in the world can't we praise him? Why in the world do we come into God's house and just sit there? We ought to be able to lift our hands because Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. That's why we shout, because we know him. If you saved, you know him personal. Did you realize that heaven shouts? Bible says they're rejoicing in heaven over one that gets saved. In other words, every time somebody comes down to this altar and gets saved, there's an uproar in heaven. Amen. But that's not the only time. Revelation 19 talks about how they sing hallelujah, and they talk about salvation, and they talk about glory and honor and power. And then verse 6 says something like this, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thunderings, saying hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. In other words, it was loud.
Amen.
This is the quietest world we're going to ever live in, folks. If you go to heaven, it's going to be loud. I'm telling you right now, they're going to be Methodists in heaven. It's going to be shouting because they're going to be shouting going on. They're going to be Presbyterians in heaven. That's going to be shot because they're going to be shouting. They're going to be Free Will Baptists in heaven, Brother Barry. That's going to be shot because they're shouting going on. Every church ain't like our church. Every Free Will Baptist church ain't like our church. You ask Miss Geraldine. Miss Geraldine's gone to a bunch of Free Will Baptist churches over the years. Every church ain't like this church. Sometimes you go in there and it's hard to get a holy grunt out of them. I've preached at a few of them, amen. You preach your guts out and they don't even say amen. And then they go out of the church and say, oh, I really enjoyed that sermon. Well, why didn't you let your face know? I've done that here, Alan. I go here and preach, and I just love that sermon. And you sit there like this right here. The whole time. If Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King and he's our Messiah and he saved us, we ought to smile. We ought to put a smile on our face. We ought to raise our hands every once in a while. I know what the problem is. Some of y'all ain't singing in the choir. Chucky, Sunday morning, I'm going to start writing down names. Get in the choir. If you get in the choir, you'll put a smile on your face. You'll lift up your hands. You'll get so excited that you can't hardly stand it, amen? That's what I'm talking about, folks. And I know everybody don't worship like I do. And I don't want you to. I want you to worship like God tells you to do it. Reasons people shouted when God saved them. They shouted. Psalms 98, verse 1 through 4. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye earth. Make a loud noise. Rejoice and sing praises. Salvation should produce praise. We used to go to the hell holes of this world and get loud. Oh, I'm on your pew now, ain't I? And we got saved and we come to God's house and sit here like we ain't got nothing to praise him about. Salvation ought to produce. When God delivered them, they shouted. The Bible talks about in Exodus 15, after they had come through the Red Sea, the Bible says that Moses just broke out singing. Some of y'all ain't gonna like this, but it's the Bible, okay? Look up at me. Moses broke out saying, I don't know what Moses was singing, but it got so good that Miriam started dancing. Uh-huh. Oh, preacher, you done talking about dancing in church now. It's the Bible.
Amen.
It's the Bible, amen. Hey, Moses got to singing, Miriam got to dancing, and all of Israel rejoiced. It excited. Hey, listen, you got to understand something. When God gets on you, it moves to somebody. If God was to get on Miss Geraldine, Brenda would have to do something.
Amen.
If it ain't nothing but just get out the way, she's going to have to do something. See, that's what I'm talking about. Worship makes everybody move, amen? Now, y'all know me. I'm not meaning to be funny. It is, but I'm not meaning it to be funny. I've been in services before where the power of God hit and you see people getting out of the way. I've seen it. I've been in services before where somebody, the power of God get on somebody and the whole pew empty out because they know they're getting ready to move.
Amen.
Folks, we ought to do something.
Amen.
To let him know we love him.
Amen.
Sometimes they shouted because God kept a promise. Hello. God ever kept his promise with you? God ever showed up for you? Hey, Sarah laughed. Abraham worshiped. David danced. Mary magnified the Lord. Amen. Hey, different people, different personalities, same God. How about King David's worship? This is the best example of expressive worship we have in the Bible. When I say expressive worship, that's worship where everybody knows what's going on. Okay, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible talks about they are moving the ark of God. The presence, the sitting presence of God, Mike, is coming back into Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us in verse 6, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. He wasn't performing. He wasn't entertaining. He was just turning loose and letting God be God. He come into, if you ain't had the presence of God in a while, and the presence of God shows up at your house, you'll move around a little bit, amen? If you ain't felt God in a little while, and you get into a service where you just feel God move in beside you, you'll do something, amen? I took a preacher friend of mine with me up to the mountains Monday. He told me after that service, he said, I ain't never been in nothing like that in my life.
Amen.
He said, I've never seen God move like that. David dancing was the best expressive worship we have in the Bible. Now get this, everybody wasn't happy.
Amen.
The Bible says his wife criticized him. You acting like some king, ain't you? Listen, everybody, Steve, everybody ain't going to be happy. We've had people complain in this church because I jumped up in a pew. We have. We have. We've had people talk to our deacons because I was preaching one night or one morning, and all they moved all the offering place, and I just stepped up on the communion table, kept on preaching. Amen. Somebody complained about that. You know what one of my deacons told us? Said, "Why don't you go talk to the preacher?" They didn't want to do that. Everybody ain't going to be happy because you worship. Guess what? Worship anyhow. Worship anyhow. He said, "Preacher, if we start acting like that, you're going to run some people off from the church." Let me go ahead and tell you something, folks. We're going to be us. We're going to be us. I'm going to be me. I'm going to preach. I'm going to worship. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to honor. And I want you to do the same thing. Because listen, if somebody don't want to come to this church because of that reason, that's fine. There's plenty of dead churches out there they can go to. I want us to be what God wants us to be. Now, listen, I know everybody ain't going to do like I do. I told you this story before many, many times. Somewhere around where Alan is sitting right there, and Stacy, Dennis Cato used to sit right there. And we'd get in them services. I'm telling you right now, people would be standing up shouting, having a time. And Dennis Cato, I don't know if I ever seen Dennis Cato raise his hand. I don't know if I ever saw him raise his hand. I'm pretty sure every once in a while, Alan, he'd say amen. I think he would. I never really heard him. But he would sit there with this pew leaning out this way. And Alan, he would sit there and lean out the pew and look at me like this right here with a big smile on his face. He might well have been throwing babies and chunking song books. That would excite me, son. I'm telling you right now, that was his worship. He didn't have to say nothing. He didn't have to do nothing. That was his worship. If that's how you worship, I'm telling you, I can tell it on your face. You got to understand something. Everybody ain't going to be the same. And I don't want us to be the same. But I want us to worship. Now listen, worship ain't always loud. Worship ain't always loud. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 20 says this, "But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him." Worship ain't always loud. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1 and 2, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou on the earth. Therefore let thy words be few." Psalms 46 verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen. Every once in a while we come in and they'll sing something, and it's just like everything settles. Amen. People will start coming to the altar, crying and weeping, getting things right with God. Let me tell you something. That's just as good as shouting, because it's in order with what God wants. So worship ain't got to be loud. Real worship is sometimes silent. Real worship sometimes is tearful. Real worship sometimes is you just coming down, kneeling down, and bowing before God. Yeah, real worship is singing. Real worship is dancing. And real worship is shouting. But it's all together. Amen. Let me go ahead and tell you this. Your heart matters more than your volume.
Amen.
Let me say that one more time. Your heart matters more than your volume. If your heart is right,
amen,
everything else will work out. Amen. Times when shouting is wrong. In Exodus chapter 32, the children of Israel shouted when they made the golden calf. Wasn't right. It wasn't right. In Matthew chapter 27, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him." So just cause it's loud don't mean it's worship. And just cause it's loud don't mean it's right. Amen. How did the early church worship? In Acts chapter 2, the disciples worshiped publicly. I mean, can you imagine being there and Peter preaching and 3,000 people getting saved? Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you right now. It'd been on. Can you imagine being there with Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas just start worshiping, and God just comes down and shakes the jailhouse. It was on, y'all. Why some can't worship. Unconfessed sin. The Bible talks about it in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. See, there's a lot of people try to come in to God's house, and they ain't been living right all week long, and they want to get in to God's house. I remember sitting at a dinner table one time with my family, back when my kids was little. We were sitting around the table, and my sister-in-law at the time, she's no longer my sister-in-law, but and that ain't got nothing to do with it, but I'm just saying, she was talking about, we were talking about the morning worship song that we had had. We had had a great service at White Savannah. And she said something, oh, yeah, that we had a good service at this church she was going to. She said, yeah, this guy just played the trumpet. It was awesome. She said, he does so good. He played it 2001 last night. I said, he did what? Yeah, he plays down at one of the clubs at the beach. Yeah. I said, he wouldn't be playing in my church. Oh, and the argument was on then. You can't live for the devil and worship in God's house. It don't work. Amen. So people get discouraged. It's real hard. It's real easy to come into God's house and be discouraged. Everybody else shouting it out, and you sitting there, and you dealing with a lot of stuff.
Amen.
That happens. It happens every time we have a service. Something like that happens. Somebody's dealing with something tonight. Every service is different. But every service, God's speaking to somebody. If we ain't careful, we let pride get in. Well, I ain't going to raise my hand. If I raise my hand, Mike's going to think I'm crazy. If I raise my hand, Dallas is going to think I'm crazy. Listen, you coming to Liberty, they already think you crazy. They know you're a preacher, so that's why most of them already think that. Don't let stuff stop you.
Amen.
Now let's look at the balance of worship, then I'm going to come to a close. Number one, worship's got to be biblical. It's got to be a balance. Everything's got to work out together. It's got to be heartfelt. It's got to be from in here. If it ain't from in here, it ain't working. If it ain't from in here, it's just loud. I don't want that. It's got to be reverent. And when I say reverent, I don't mean quiet. We can be reverent and shout. But it's got to be done decently and in order. It's got to be spirit-led. Amen. It's got to be truth-led. Biblical worship. And it's got to be focused on Jesus.
Amen.
There's a lot of people, Brother Barry. You've seen it and I've seen it. There's a lot of people try to draw attention to their self. And if you're trying to draw attention to yourself, Jesus ain't nowhere around.
Amen.
What's my saying? It's all about him. It ain't about us. And if we'll lift him up, everything else will fall right into place. Amen. The Bible never tells us to command or to work up emotions. I've seen too many preachers, Alan, over the years. You know what I'm talking about. Come in, they try to work it up. They try to, sing another song and sing a verse of this song. And they know, you know, and I know if I get old Robert Lloyd up here and Robert Lloyd sings Please Forgive Me, somebody going to get emotional. I don't do that kind of stuff. It ain't about us. If God's moving and God's doing it, that's different. But it ain't about us. The citizens of Frederick, Australia didn't know what to do. This was back in the 1700s. Napoleon's massive army was preparing to attack. Soldiers had been spotted on the heights above the little town, which was situated on the Austrian border. A council of citizens was hastily summoned to decide whether they should try to defend themselves or display the white flag of surrender. It happened to be on a Sunday. And as the people had gathered in the local church, the pastor rose and said, "Friends, we've been counting on our own strength, and that's apparently failed. This is the day of the Lord's resurrection, and today, let's just ring the bells, have our service as usual, and leave the matter into God's hands." So they did. They just started ringing the bells, had their church as usual. The army heard the bells ringing, thought that other army had been summoned to come in, so Napoleon's army retreated and left. My ending thought is this. You just ring the bell and let God take care of the rest. Amen. If we'll come into God's house and we'll ring the bells, Bible talks about, there's a song called Prayer Bells of Heaven. If we'll just ring the bells of worship, ring the bells of prayer, ring the bells of reverence, ring the bells of singing, God will show up and God will take care of what he needs to take care of. Amen. I love you. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings tonight. I